One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit villageofbedfordpark.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Friday afternoon, August 7th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. The Noon Business Hour is sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. A look at why critical thinking may be Gen Z's biggest workplace advantage. We'll talk about that in our next segment. But first, today's headline job numbers show the economy unexpectedly shed 23,000 positions last month as hiring weakened and the unemployment rate edged lower. Joining us to discuss is Paul Christopher, head of global investment strategy at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. Paul, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. And let's run down some of the lowlights, I suppose, in this particular report that showed a contraction of 23,000 positions. What were some of the weak spots?
Yeah, hi, Rob. It was a disappointing report. The market expecting 80,000 jobs gained, actually losing 23. So where did we lose jobs? Well, a lot of different places. And more importantly, we did not have the strength that we usually have in healthcare and in education. On the bright side, manufacturing did a little bit better than expected.
Now, when looking at previous employment reports, what direction were the revisions?
Yeah, that's the real crucial point here, is that even though July was we came in negative, we had a lot of revisions downward to previously viewed as strong reports. For June, for example, initially reported as up 57,000, and that was revised down. April and May were revised down by a strong 74,000, and June down by 37,000. So, you know, we're really only gaining 20,000 jobs in the month of June. You're losing 23,000 in July. We might see further downward adjustments to July when we see the August number in September. So just signs of maybe employers not necessarily wanting to hire quite yet.
Now, were there differences between public and private payrolls?
Yes, public payrolls have been doing a little bit better lately. They were suffering more last year, but again, you need the private sector to really drive the economy.
And then how does this change the Fed math going forward? Because one report does not a trend make.
That's right, yeah. And there's still pretty considerable inflation. We're starting to see rents pick up in inflation again, starting to see more inflation coming out of medical sector. And so the inflation is still a problem. The Fed is going to be watching this. But I guess I'd want to tune your listeners into maybe a little bit broader picture here. You know, you still have pretty decent economic growth. And in terms of revenues, companies are doing quite well. And we would expect them at some point to start to hire again. Those revenues is a good indicator of true consumer demand. And we would expect the hiring to pick up. So, yeah, let's not put too much weight by this particular number. But yes, the markets have taken short-term interest rate expectations down by a little bit.
And what does this tell us about the labor force participation rate, specifically prime age workers?
Yeah, prime age workers not doing so well, maybe feeling a little bit discouraged or perhaps having other things in mind than working. But we need that participation rate to get back up there. It really hasn't recovered from where it was pre-pandemic.
Paul Christopher, head of global investment strategy at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up, the skills young workers say AI can't replace, at least not yet.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A new survey by KPMG finds Gen Z is embracing AI, but also believes critical thinking and human judgment will set workers apart. Welcoming in Jeff King, managing partner KPMG in Chicago, joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home. Jeff, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. And let's break down some of the numbers here, especially when it comes to Gen Z and their attitudes towards AI. And this is interesting coming from a generation that, for lack of a better word, they're digital natives.
Yeah, that's right, Rob. Thanks for having me on. But yes, this week we released the KPMG intern survey where we polled 1,900 interns around the country, and 230 of those interns were right here in Chicago. And what I would say is there is a real energy here that's easy to miss under all the AI disruption headlines. Our Gen Z interns love working with AI. It makes them more curious, more confident, and quicker to share what they learn. They're not bracing for the future of work. They're pulling it forward towards them.
And that's interesting because, as you mentioned, there's so many AI disruption headlines, especially when it comes to AI anxiety. Everybody you talk to, regardless of where they are on the organizational ladder or where they are on the income spectrum, they all have that kind of gallows humor about one day they will be replaced by a machine. And we're probably 4 years now into the AI era, and that hasn't really happened just yet. And it seems like if it were going to show up, it would show up with those interns in entry-level positions.
Yeah, you know, what I'd say is one of the findings in the survey was that, you know, while 94% of our interns clearly expect AI is going to automate or enhance more than 20% of their future role, only 5% of them were really worried that the displacement of their job is the primary reaction to these AI agents. So they are certainly recognizing the future is changing, but they're embracing it.
And then what are some of the skills they think they need to handle this kind of hybrid human AI future?
Yeah, absolutely. So you'd think our most digitally native generation ever is going to be focused on technology and AI, but what they're telling us is they recognize, and they've done enough reading of what people are saying, that the important skills are going to be, is that they're recognizing that critical thinking, judgment, and communication is what's going to set their careers apart. And what that means for organizations like KPMG and many other companies is that the challenge isn't simply teaching people how to use AI, it's creating opportunities for employees to develop the human skills that are going to be even more critical in our upcoming AI era.
And what are some of those human skills that will be especially at a premium in this upcoming AI era?
Yeah, you know, we actually had a Wall Street Journal article published, or they published an article late July that really highlighted some things we're trying to teach folks. And it's just the things we're talking about here. It's you know, basically how to interact, how to communicate, how to think critically. And one of the things that a lot of the interns are recognizing is that, you know, if they're not able to to learn in person, in the room, watching other senior executives apply judgment, then they're going to fall behind. And so they're looking at AI not as an opportunity to skip the hard part. They're using AI to pull the hard part forward, get to it faster, get into the analysis, the framing, the tough business decisions that need to be made.
We're talking with Jeff King, managing partner at KPMG in Chicago, about this new survey that talked to younger workers about their attitudes towards AI. And one of the nice things to see, Jeff, is that the people you talk to in this survey, they're go-getters. 93% aspire to reach the C-suite. And clearly, Jeff, they've been listening to the Noon Business Hour, where the career advice about how do you handle AI over and over and over again is that you're not going to lose your job to AI. You're going to lose your job to someone who knows how to use AI. And they definitely know how to use it.
Absolutely. The number one factor for interns, Gen Z interns, when they're choosing a full-time employer and where they want to intern, it is career growth. 93% of them want to reach the C-suite, so they're very ambitious. All the talk of young generation focusing on work-life balance and work from home and those kinds of things, well down the list. They're focused on good old-fashioned career growth and moving their careers forward.
And then what also is interesting, too, is that some of the AI fears have yet to come to fruition. We've mentioned a couple of ways that has not come true. But another way is that they're not using AI to cut corners, they're not using AI to cheat, but they are using it to make them more productive and level up in the office.
Absolutely. I think what you're seeing is a lot of the interns and younger folks using it are able to use AI to, they feel they can learn something more quickly. Because don't forget, I mean, they're 21 years old trying to learn how to operate as a career professional. And so they're using it to learn new concepts quickly. And then they also see that the survey showed that they can apply AI to produce deliverables and output that are of more a higher quality, something you expect from a more senior analyst, that they're able to produce more quickly.
Now, at the same time, even though AI has been pitched in fairness by the people who create AI as some sort of alien and science fiction technology, for those of us who've been around the block a couple of times, you start to see some echoes of previous eras of technological change. I mean, even going back to 40 years ago when, you know, Lotus Notes was introduced into the office, all of a sudden you can do a lot of drafting on the computer. And of course, the advent of the web and cloud computing took a lot of paper out of the office, and people simply adapted regardless of age.
Absolutely. None of us know exactly what the future is going to hold, but I think modern civilization for the last 200 years has showed us that as you adopt new technology, jobs change and a whole bunch of new jobs come. So I think you just have to be an optimist moving forward and embrace it. And I think we're certainly seeing that with this Gen Z survey.
Jeff King, managing partner at KPMG in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up next, how moving your credit card debt can save you serious money and some costly traps you want to avoid.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A credit card balance transfer can help you tackle high interest debt, but experts say understanding the fees and the fine print is critical. We welcome in Ted Rossman, Principal Consumer Finance Analyst for Money Management International in New York. Ted, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. And when it comes to cutting down on your credit card debt, Ted, a balance transfer into a 0% interest credit card could be one of the most powerful weapons in your arsenal.
That's right. It's really a great tactic, and it almost sounds too good to be true, right? I mean, it's like, wait, the credit card company is going to give me 0% interest for a long time? Some of the longest offers we see are 21 months. It really is true. Cards like the Wells Fargo Reflect, U.S. Bank Shield Visa, Citi Diamond Preferred, these all have 21 months interest-free. Now, there is a little bit of a catch, which is it's not a free lunch, of course. The sort of quiet part is the bank is betting that a lot of these people will carry balances after the term runs out, and then the interest rate goes way up. It's often high teens all the way up to the high 20s. But you can dare to be different. You know, be among the half who pays in full within the allotted time. That saves you a ton of money in interest. The other thing is the transfer fee. They usually charge 3 to 5% up front. For a lot of people, that ends up being a few hundred dollars. I think it can be well worth it. You just have to make progress.
Now, if you want to make progress, what are some strategies you can employ to make sure that higher interest rate doesn't kick in when the promotional period ends?
I would say don't add any new purchases. A lot of times they try to tempt you with 0% on the balance transfer, so moving the existing debt, as well as new purchases. I would say don't make any new purchases. Just freeze your balance where it's at, divide that by the number of months in your 0% term. The average credit card debt load is around $6,500, according to TransUnion. You know, we're talking roughly $300 a month if you have a 21-month interest-free term. That feels a lot more attainable than scaling that $6,500 mountain. It is worth pointing out that you typically need good to excellent credit, so maybe a credit score of 670 or better will have you in the ballpark. Most people have that. One other consideration is the credit limit. If you have 10 or 20 or more thousands in credit card debt, this strategy may not be for you. This tends to work best if you have $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 in debt. More than that, you might want to go another route, including what we offer at Money Management International. We're one of the big nonprofit credit counselors. We have debt management plans. You know, a lot of our clients have $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in debt. These are people that may be priced out of the balance transfer market.
And then very quickly, and last but not least, and that is understanding just some of the rules of your credit card company, because you may think that 0% balance transfer card could be your life preserver, but then you find out you can't do it because it's been issued by the same bank.
Yep, that's a good one. This is really a customer acquisition tool, so you can't switch within the same bank. You're bringing in outside balances to a new card issuer. The other thing is don't pay late. If you pay late, you can lose the 0% offer.
Ted Rossman, Principal Consumer Finance Analyst for Money Management International in New York. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour.
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. Noon Business Hour continues, sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. Markets are higher today. We welcome in Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial in Chicago. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. And how are markets reacting to the July jobs report?
Well, it was a nice reaction. We actually did see that negative number, which was a surprise, but I think that in turn made the Federal Reserve realize that they do not need to raise rates anytime soon. So that effect of not a September hike in interest rates quelled fears and actually moved markets higher. And this is in the wake of having the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones Industrial Average drop make new all-time high just this week, as we are having one of the most robust earnings season, revealing the profits that these U.S. companies are making, one of the best in decades.
It's interesting because this week has had a great deal of stimulus for equities, starting off with a rumor of peace once again in the ongoing fight between the U.S. and Iran, especially over the transit of cargo through the Strait of Hormuz, a robust earnings season, and then this jobs report today, another case of bad news possibly being good news, taking some air out of the interest rate bubble.
I think you're absolutely right. We talk about the Iranian conflict, which is dragged out into 6 months, the on again and off again, off ramp that we continue to look for. But with crude oil prices in the mid-70s, I don't think investors are that alarmed. We're looking for a resolution. We just don't know when, but hopefully sooner than later, because that will hopefully cool off inflation. But at the end of the day, all the global macro noise that is out there, I think earnings season, which is robust, a typical 10-year growth of earnings per share, year-over-year growth, Rob, is on average about 8.6%. Right now, we're at 30%. I wasn't a mathematician or a math major at the University of Notre Dame where I graduated, Rob, but that's a four times better than expected. So we are just seeing companies really bring in profits, and that is the boost, and that is the focus, and that's why we're seeing markets move higher. Yes, we need interest rates to move lower because they're stuck at the 10-year at about 4.64 right now. Yes, we want to see crude oil move lower. Yes, we want to see inflation, but the overarching theme is that this robust earnings is moving markets higher.
And let's talk about some consumer-facing stocks, especially Airbnb, rallying 14%, the vacation rental company posting a beat on the top and bottom line. So regardless of people's gripes about the economy, they still feel good about renting that house on the lake.
I think that's right, Rob. I crisscross country seeing my advisory clients, and I see airports jammed. I know Airbnbs are busy. We're all seeing SpaceX, after a pretty rough and stumbling IPO, back up around 130, so up 11% today. And also some of the software names that we've talked about. Look at Palantir, even Oracle. Some of these names, these software names, that kind of got thrown out earlier in Q2, we're seeing a resurgence there, Palantir back above $170. So I think people, investors, stock pickers are really combing through because we are seeing a broadening out. It's just not the Mag 7, which we saw a reset. We're actually seeing some breath in the market. And that encouraged me. And that's why I'm cautiously optimistic.
All year long, we've been talking about the AI trade in terms of the impact on the semiconductor space and just all the bets that companies are making on AI. So let's talk about AI as economic stimulus, because companies are spending hundreds of billions of dollars building out and investing in their AI capability. And it's starting to show up in very interesting places, especially when it comes to construction employment. You don't need government to provide economic stimulus anymore when you have software companies and AI companies spending billions on building data centers, brick and mortar entities.
Exactly. And Elon Musk announced yesterday they're going to spend over $16 billion on TerraFab, which is their new Texas fabrication location. But it's interesting to your point. It's been a roller coaster. 2 years ago, anybody that said we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars, especially the hyperscalers like Amazon or Facebook, when they announced that, you saw the markets reward them. All of a sudden, about half a year ago, people were getting very nervous about how much they're spending. We're back to now, Amazon CEO Andy Jassy articulated in granular detail, the more they spend, the more they have revenue matched up. So that return on investment, better known as ROI, is clear and is being illuminated. And that's why I think you've seen a resurgence in some of these big, big CapEx. But you're right. It's a massive bet. Trillions and trillions of dollars. But we're either going to be all living in our parents' basement or we're all going to be right on this AI trade.
Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Entrepreneur Friday, a look back at a quarter century of Chicago innovation.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday. Chicago innovation marks 25 years of celebrating the ideas, companies, and entrepreneurs turning everyday frustrations into groundbreaking businesses. Joining us to discuss is Luke Tannen, president and CEO of Chicago Innovation. Find him online, chicagoinnovation.com. Luke, thank you for joining us today. And this is a very good time to have this conversation because there was a story in the New York Times a couple of weeks ago talking about the boom in small business formation, people going to file the LLC paperwork themselves to take that bet on themselves, to be entrepreneurial. And a lot of those businesses will fail. Some of them are side hustles, but others, like the businesses celebrated by Chicago Innovation, Luke, they will move the ball forward in their area of practice.
Yes, and Rob, thanks for having me on. And to that point, innovation is something anybody could do because it's all about problem solving. So I'm not surprised there's more new businesses being created all the time. And this is what Chicago Innovation is all about celebrating. So our next event, in fact, on September 16th, is our nominee celebration at CineCity Studios. We'll bring together more than 350 nominees for the 25th Annual Chicago Innovation Awards. And this is the largest annual celebration of new products and services in the Chicago region. And anybody can come to this event if they want to meet the innovators shaping Chicago today. And at the event, there's companies that are big corporations and startups and for-profits and nonprofits, all industries, high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech.
You know what the great thing, Luke, about these networking events, especially if you are dipping your toe into the water of forming your own business or you're really trying to get that entrepreneurial story off the ground, is regardless of what happens, you just walk out feeling more confident about what it is you're trying to do. Because the hardest part, Luke, about betting on yourself is believing in yourself.
Yeah, and you know what? That makes me think that it's important to have role model examples so you can see others who are succeeding that can inspire you. And I just want to highlight a few past Chicago Innovation Award winners that always give me that kind of confident feeling. So you might have seen this in the news this year, Spot Hero, Chicago company. They looked at one of the most frustrating parts of living in a city, finding parking, right? And they turned it into something that you could reserve on your phone. And guess what? The company was just acquired by Uber a few months ago for $600 million. Or you look at another inspiring example, Farmer's Fridge. They took the vending machine, something associated with chips and candy, and they made it dispense fresh, healthy meals. But you know, Rob, the real innovation there is actually the inventory technology, because they combined refrigerated kiosks with software that makes sure the food in each kiosk is always fresh and never spoiled. But here's another fintech example I love. It's Tasty Trade. It's a Chicago startup that took something incredibly intimidating, options trading, way over my head, Rob, that's for sure, and made it approachable. And they combined financial education, entertainment, and tech so that anyone can learn how to do options trading. And this company sold for $1 billion. But the last point I'll make, Chicago is not just about startups. Radio Flyer is a great example of a century-old Chicago company that keeps reinventing itself. And they won awards for the Ziggle, which is a new kind of ride-on toy that's actually powered by twisting the handlebars. And they also won for their Tesla Model S for kids, which used Tesla battery technology to once again reinvent what a kid's ride can be.
And what's interesting about all of those companies you mentioned is that some have been featured, like Farmer's Fridge, as they were in the spotlight for Entrepreneur Friday a couple of years ago. We have definitely relied upon Tasty Trade people to lend insight on today's market doing. So not only can you sell your business for potentially millions, if not billions of dollars, Luke, you can also be a guest on the Noon Business Hour. So that makes it all worth it.
Well, there you go. And, you know, the first thing you talked about was how it's about solving customer frustrations. And that's the core of it. And over these 25 years, we've seen how all these winners have taken an everyday frustration and just simply asked, why does it have to work this way? Right? Like finding parking became Spot Hero, unhealthy vending machines became Farmer's Fridge, on and on and on. And I think that's the defining trait of Chicago innovators that get on your show or get awards from us, is that they're solving real problems by creating new value in unique ways that make an impact in the world.
Luke Tenen, President and CEO of Chicago Innovation, thank you for joining us on Entrepreneur Friday. Their next event, September 16th at CineCity Studios. That is the 25th annual nominee celebration. Meet the 350 nominees for the 25th annual Chicago Innovation Awards. It's 12:44. Still to come, the disappearing fitting room and why critics say it could backfire.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Some retailers are rethinking one of the most basic parts of shopping for clothes, that is the fitting room, with some eliminating them altogether over concerns about theft, vandalism, and staffing costs. But many critics say it's a very bad idea. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Bob Phibb, CEO of the Retail Doctor in New York. Bob, thank you for joining us today. And what are some of the clothing retailers that are stepping away from the fitting room?
Well, the ones that are publicized is Brandy Melville, which is a young woman's fashion brand. Goodwill stores, I think they've already closed them, actually. Costco, and there's some other ones. But, you know, it's not something people are putting a PR on. They're kind of doing this under the table. And the challenge with that is because smart retailers know that someone goes into a fitting room, 70% chance they're going to buy it. It's not about the theft. It's going to convert a lot higher. So,
Is theft one of the main reasons why those particular stores are stepping away from the fitting room as an idea?
Well, that's what's been publicized. But again, you know, the downside of that is it was one part of your store that had extra people being aware of, and I think the challenge we have right now with an awful lot of retail is untrained employees are looking down in their phones anyway. So it's kind of a moot point, isn't it?
Well, what is, you know, from a business standpoint, what does the fitting room bring to the table in terms of getting dollars in the door and also making a customer more comfortable and more inclined to buy?
Well, if you do it right and it's air conditioned and has nice lighting and it's you know, emptied as it's supposed to, it should be a place that someone can try on multiple outfits and increase the average sale. The thing that kind of boggles the mind, though, is this is what keeps people from buying something online and buying four or five different sizes and then, you know, wearing them, returning them. The conversion to store is the cheapest and most efficient thing you can do. So, and one person can go and service a number of guests there. And, you know, Victoria's Secret, I don't know this from my own self, Rob, but I've been told that that was their secret mojo, that you would come in, they'd say, first time here, they would take you back to get a bra fitting, and then they walk out and say, and this is your product. And that's what built the brand. So maybe, you know, maybe we'll hear more people realizing, hey, that was the ticket, and less people saying it doesn't matter, because it's easy to walk by a display and say, I'll think about it. But once you've got it on and it's a, I look pretty good, you're more likely to buy it.
It's interesting you talk about the style of lighting in the fitting room as a way of making you more comfortable with the purchase. Because in my experience, in some stores, you go into a fitting room and you can tell like that wasn't touched by the most recent remodel. The old carpeting is in there. The old color scheme is in there. The very unforgiving fluorescent lighting is embedded in the ceiling. And chances are that's not going to make you comfortable about that pair of pants you want to buy.
Well, that's very true. In departments, I think there's some well-known department stores who will not name right here, but I think they've had a challenge. They're working on a number of their stores, but it's the least sexy part of the house, of the store, and yet it's one of the ones that convert the most. So if you're a retailer listening out there, remember that person can look in a mirror and say, I look great, is doing a double service for you, because they remember they got it at your store, not some faceless online retailer.
Bob Phibb, CEO of the Retail Doctor based in New York, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Find him online at retaildoc.com. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber. Especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.